is that he has made us a watchman.
Yes.
We're supposed to go around and speak the goodness of the Lord. We're supposed to tell them that God is good, but he didn't come down here to be so good to you. He came to save you from your sins. So each and every one of us are a watchman for Christ. Amen? One of the most important military strategies in battle is to surprise your enemy. If you can attack at a time or in a way when it is unexpected and he is unprepared, you gain a great advantage. That is what the devil does. He attacks unexpectedly, unaware, and he has an advantage over each and every one of us. Now, we were up in Hartford yesterday, and the theme of the convention is to go fishing. Let's go fishing. Amen? But here today, I'm saying, regardless of fishing, he's saying you're a watchman. A watchman is not fishing. He's watching. Amen? So everybody that's around you, you are supposed to be watching to see what's going on in their life and educate them about salvation.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
In biblical times, the watchman would stand on a wall and watch to see what was going outside. He was standing in the tower. One of his purposes was to stand there to make sure nobody stole the storage, the grain. He would stand there also in case he saw a campfire of fires and an enemy might be attacking. And if he saw this, he would blow his trumpet or his horn so the people could get ready. Amen?
Amen.
The role of the watchman is still vital in understanding the work of the Lord in these end times. I'm going to say that again. In these end times.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the beginning of time. These are end times. All you have to do is look around and see what's going on. You will understand that these are the end times. You cannot be ignorant that these are the end times, because it's written in the word the things that were going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
So if you didn't know, now you do know. Amen? The task of the church and the Christian today is to confront people.
Come on, Pastor.
The task of us today is to confront people. I got amen over there. Let me see what I'm going to get over here. The task of Christians today is to confront people.
Amen.
They did better than you. The task of Christians today is to confront people.
Amen. Not right now.
The task of people of Christians today is to confront people.
Amen.
Amen. That means so be it.
Yes.
The task of me and you today is to confront people. We're supposed to ask them, do you know the Lord? But we don't want to confront nobody.
My Lord.
The Bible says that we are to confront them, that we're to ask them, to let them know that there is something called salvation.
Yes.
I know people don't want to hear a message of salvation, but we're charged with it.
Yes, we are.
So if you in here never hear from me again, I already said it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
My job is not to persuade you.
Ah.
The choice is yours.
Woo.
All I got to do is give it. That's like when you work and your boss gives you money. He can't tell you what to do with it. The choice is yours.
Yeah.
So when you go to work on Monday and you broke, what choices you made?
Jesus.
You can't tell him, I'm late today because I ain't have money to get to work. He don't want to hear that. He paid you. See, now Christ paid you already.
Yes.
He paid you already.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
He
thank
paid
you
when he didn't have to pay you. As a matter of fact, it's like a loan. Because you can't, it's one of those like payday loans that you never stop paying back. You keep paying it back, and you say, well, when am I going to end? But you keep paying it back. But you can never pay him back.
Never.
You could try, but you can never pay him back. But the price he paid with his life on the cross,
thank you.
The Bible says greater love has no man. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to ad lib, greater love has no man and no woman. That love that he has for you. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
As watchmen, we have a great responsibility. As the watchman, he would sit in the high place. Amen. He would also watch. See, he would watch to make sure nobody stole from them. He would watch to make sure the enemies wasn't getting ready to attack. But here's the other thing. He would watch over the city. And he would stand there, and he would look around, and he would know what each and every one of you were doing. He knew where you lived. He knew your lifestyle. He knew who you associated with. He knew when you was doing things you're not supposed to be doing. He was the watchman. And I say that we're the watchman over each and every one of us in this church, and not only that, but in our lives. Some of us, our children are doing things, we're not even watching over them. Then we're surprised when things happen. Oh, he was a good kid. You ain't know what he was doing.
True. Tell it.
You don't even watch over your own relationships and your marriages.
My Lord.
You let somebody go out there and they just be out there hanging out all night. You don't know what they're doing. And then something turns up. And you like, well, I didn't know that was happening. No, because you wasn't watching. You wasn't watching. And if there's something that you don't like, I don't care where it's at, you're supposed to say something. And even if you can't talk, you could do this.
All right, Pastor.
And you could do it with attitude. So I ask you today, when you think of a person with such a responsibility, amen? When you think of somebody who failed to do his job, what do you think of that person? What would we think of somebody who allowed thousands of people to die without a warning? We're watchmen. We're allowed, each and every one of us that's not letting people know about Jesus Christ are letting hundreds of people die without knowing. He said, well, Pastor, how can you say I'm responsible for that? How many people you know? How many people do you know? Give me a number. Give me a number. Somebody give me a number.
10.
So you know 10 people. Now, every one of those 10 knows 10, that's 100. If every one of those 100 knows 10, that's 10,000. But if you let one person know, and they let another person know.
Yeah.
And they let another person know.
Yeah.
And they let another person know. That's why I can't understand why the church is not filled up yet. I'm going to leave that one alone. The Bible fixes responsibility where it belongs. In 33:2-6, it says, if he sounds the warning and it is not heeded, then he is not responsible for defeat. But failure to sound warning makes the watchman accountable for defeat or death. All of this seems quite fair and reasonable, and it is. Now I'm going to change something that we run around saying, okay? Because God made us a watchman in our world today. So 2 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And we run around, we're saying that, right? And we feel wonderful because we're a royal priesthood. Well, let me tell you, that scripture in the New Testament is correlated to a scripture in the Old Testament. That scripture is Exodus 19 and 6. It says, and the literal meaning of it is that God told Moses to tell the Israelites that if they kept his covenant, they will be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. So therefore, what that means is, if you want to be that, you have to have a covenant with God. But we're busy running around saying we're a royal priesthood, which you are. But the responsibility of telling people to have that covenant, God told Moses and Moses told the people, Jesus Christ died on the blood. He said, go to all nations and make disciples. Amen? So he is squarely putting it on our shoulders to make other people part of the royal family.
Amen.
It's not just to say, oh, I'm in royalty. No, you come join me in this royalty. He took me, he'll take you too. I'm just like you. Whatever your sins is, it's no greater than mine, because a sin is a sin is a sin.
That's right.
You see, we, in society, we like to quantify certain sins. So this sin is not as bad as the other sin. But for us Christians, a sin is a sin is a sin. And once you grasp that, no matter what somebody does, you can give forgiveness.
Amen.
See, we don't give forgiveness because we, like the world, quantify different sins. But a sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. When we just put it in that one category, when somebody has committed a murder, we can go to the jail and forgive them and say, God forgives you, and so do I. But when we quantify things, you can't forgive. Because it's above your threshold of forgiveness. Well, if they do that to me, I'm all in then. It's on. You see, we got a level where it's on. God never had a level where it's on. Jesus never had a level that was on. Amen? Part of what I spoke about yesterday is Christ reminding us and reminding Peter sometimes like our old ways. You know, we say that we are a new person in Christ. And then something happens. You say, well, don't let me be Ronald. Should have been paying attention. And sometimes you get somebody to a certain point, but don't let me get Ronald on you, because Ronald's the old person. Amen? Like Simon Peter? Amen? Sometimes you got to say, stop acting like Ronald. Sometimes you got to say, stop acting like Simon. But when you're a new person in Christ, he gives you a new name, a new personality that you're supposed to embrace. That way you don't have to say, it's on like popcorn, let's get it on. The reason why I'm saying this is because, you know, we live in a world where there's nations and there's people who do not know the true God. People look for life's meaning in occult religions like Buddhism, Hinduism, yoga, witchcraft, Satan worship. It is a shame how the devil has disguised so many things, and we think it's nothing wrong with it. We think it's nothing wrong with it. And I'm here to tell you this morning that just because your daddy did it and your mama did it and your grandmother did it and your grandfather, you need to do the research on that stuff. You really need to. That's why we don't walk around here saying Easter Sunday. We move into Resurrection Sunday, because that's our celebration.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So we need to do the research and all of this stuff that is given to us freely. If the church doesn't proclaim it, who's going to do it? If we don't proclaim the gospel, who is going to do it? You know the devil's not going to do it. Amen? It's not the job of the school. It's not the job of the government. Don't depend on other people to do the job that God has given us to do. Now, church, I'm going to tell you this. Make no mistake about it. There's really not a church that's better than another church. If the church is preaching the full gospel message, it is good. If they are leading men and women to know Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, it's good.
Yes.
But the problem is there's people that are not preaching the full gospel message. Mm. There's churches where they're not leading men and women to Christ. And I'll give you an example. There's churches, you're a visitor, you come in, that day they walk up to you and say, "You ready to join the church? Are you ready to join the church? How are you ready to join the church? When you don't even know what the church is about. When you don't know what the principles and the polity of the church is, of the church. That's like you walking up to somebody and just saying, "You ready to get married?" The purpose of the church existence is to meet all the spiritual needs of mankind, and they are only met through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus in John 14 and 6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, Jesus said that. So I don't know how people just pray to God. He said, nobody gets to the Father except through me.
Yes, that's the word.
He says, "I stand at the door and knock." I did the work. So I'm calling you. I stand at the door and knock. Do you want to know why? Because you can't face God. He's too holy for you. You can't stand in his presence yet. That's why he had to come in human form. That's why. Because you can't stand him. His holiness. The closest anybody got is the transfiguration in the New Testament with Jesus. When Moses went to see, he said, "Moses, stand over there. Matter of fact, take your shoes off. Them dirty shoes, take them off." And he's behind there. He didn't see him, burning bush. So if you go somewhere and somebody's telling you pray to God and they got nothing to do with Jesus, he says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light." I'm telling you that because I'm the watchman here. And if you never come here again, you got it from me. Because I'm the watchman here. I can't let you walk in and walk out with whatever you came in here with without knowing this. Amen?
Amen.
What of our friends and relatives? These are the people that you love, and for the most part, we want the best for them, right? So you see them all the time. You talk to them on the phone. They go in and out of your house. Do you tell them about Jesus? You're the watchman. Do you tell them about Jesus? Do you offer them salvation? You only got to do it once. Only once. But you're too afraid to confront them. There's such a thing as sin. It's going to condemn you to hell. Amen? Judgment is coming, and we don't want the Lord to return. We don't know when the Lord will return, but he's going to.
Yes.
He says, "I'm going and I'm coming again." Most people don't think that sin is an important issue. "Well, you know, I just told this little lie, it ain't that bad. I just took a little bit of money, a little extra, you know, it's not that bad." Listen, there's nothing between the difference between the little money and a lot of money, because you're still gonna get time for it.
That's right.
I was 16 years old. This guy, Mr. Corn, he said, listen, if you're going to steal a car, you're gonna steal a Volkswagen, you're gonna steal a Rolls. I said, I don't know. He says, well, let me tell you something. You might as well steal the Rolls, because you're gonna get the same time, whether you steal a Volkswagen or whether you steal a Rolls. Amen? Now, if you sin, you're going to hell. There's no little white sin.
That's right.
You're going to stand in front of God, and he's going to be looking at you, and you're going to be like this. It wasn't that bad. You going to let me in? No! It's not going to let you
My
in.
My Lord.
We like to associate people who got the same ideas, same kind of friendship and stuff like that. But I always say, can two walk together? If you give the message of salvation and that person don't want to walk with you, so be it.
That's true.
So be it, okay? Because you don't want that on your head when you die. Amen? Because the Bible still says the wages of sin is death. Jesus paid the penalty for your sin and mine. It was done with extreme love and compassion. But most of all, it was done voluntarily.
Yes.
Everybody likes a free gift. I tell you right now, if this church was giving out $100 bills, there'd be a line all over New Haven.
Right.
It'd be in the news. It'd be on Channel 8, Channel 61, going down to 155 Grand Avenue, because they're giving out money for free. Matter of fact, if you said, we're going to give you money for your guns, there could be a line outside for that too. Because you're giving something away for free. Amen? Jesus gave his life for free. For free. If you know that you're going to die, how come you're not going to take this free gift that he's giving you? Of eternal life. Everybody, you know, I love these people who say, well, I don't worry, I don't care about dying. I wonder what those last thoughts are as they are transitioning from this world into some unknown world. I'd rather be wrong and live a good life than to be wrong and live a bad life. I'd rather say I live my life according to my beliefs. And that's the thing. You know, people that are dying for ISIS, they're living their life and they're dying according to their belief.
It's true. That's right.
And we say, well, I'm not doing that because I'm not giving up my life for that. But in order to win again, you have to die. Amen? You die once to be born twice.
That's right.
Born because of your mom and dad. You die because everybody in here is going to die. Mm-hmm. Like I said, everybody's one day closer to death, in case you didn't know it. Everybody in here is going to die. But when you die, are you going to live again? Or are you just going to die and go to hell? No in between.
Right.
He's not got, he don't have you somewhere in the middle trying to figure out what he's going to do with you.
That's right.
The only person vouching for you right now is Jesus Christ.
Jesus. Thank you,
He's
Jesus.
On the right hand of the Father saying, no,
hallelujah.
Not now, Father. Father, forgive them because they know not
God,
what they do.
You,
Lord, give them another chance.
Yes, yes,
Father, I believe that they're going to turn it around right now. I believe that they're going to become a soldier for you right
thank
now.
You,
Father, I believe that they got some work you want them to do. They still got an assignment. Let them take the assignment, Lord. Give them another chance right now, Father. He's petitioning on your behalf.
Thank you.
That's all he's doing. And you think about it. He came down. He went through all the mud for us. He died on the cross when he didn't have to. Now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father saying, give him another chance. How many chances do you need? How many chances do you give other people? How many chances do you give somebody when they spit on you, when they hang you, when they talk about you, when they do something to your family members, when they fire you from a job? when they take your money from you, when they don't give you food, nothing to eat? How many times do you forgive them? Or do you forgive them? All of these things were done to Christ, and he's still petitioning for us. Some of the people in our family, we got to keep talking to them because God has been so good to them, and he's still petitioning on their behalf. But we don't know. The scripture says we don't know the time, nor the day, nor the hour, the second. We don't know it.
So
you're like, you know, I know some people like going to the casino, not here, but just some people like you're gambling with your life every day. You're taking them dice and you're just rolling the dice. One day you're going to get snake eyes. I said I wasn't always a Christian, so I know what snake eyes is. You're going to get snake eyes. All your money and everything that you put out there on the table that was so important to you, gone. Amen?
Amen.
Empty. I don't like gambling, never did. Only when I was winning. There's a time for the watchman, for us to mount the walls and make a clear sound. The time is now. It's time to make everybody have hope, knowing that the kingdom of God is going to come. The devil says, behold, I am coming each and every day. He walks back and forth looking for who he can devour. But there's another thief coming.
Hey.
His name is Christ.
Yeah.
He says, behold, I come as a thief.
He said, I come as a thief.
In the night.
Yes, he said it.
And we know that we don't like thieves, and we don't like them in the night. That's why you got alarm systems all over your house, in your cars. But why don't you do that for your life? How come you don't do that for your life? The only alarm system that you have is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the alarm system.
Come on, Pastor.
That's the security that you have in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's the only way you should be able to sleep at night. Knowing that if I should die tonight, my hands, my heart, my body will be here, but my soul, because it's not about this, it's about your soul.
Yes.
Where will your soul be when he comes like a thief in the night?
Oh, my Lord.
People are going to parties and cars and not even making it to the party. People are coming from parties in cars and not even making it home from the party. People are going to the store and not making it. This week, how many tragedies happened this week to young people? To young people. In New York, crazy driver, flying down 42nd Street, Times Square, hit 20 people, killed one. Where was the girl from? She was somewhere visiting for the week. Did she know when she left, wherever she left, that visit was going to cost her life?
No idea.
Did she know that day when she got up that would be the end of her life?
No idea.
Did she know that somebody who didn't care, that was on drugs, alcohol, whatever it was going to plow through 22 people, and hers would be the life that was taken?
My Lord.
She didn't know that. He says, behold, I come as a thief. Let us stand today. I said today that we are watchmen. The scripture says in Revelation, blessed is he who watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his. Jesus pronounces a blessing for those during our darkest days. He's pronouncing a blessing for those who watches and keeps his garments. Amen. Mark 13:32 and 37 says it this way. But about that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. I want you to hear that. Nor the Son. As much as Jesus has done, he don't know the time. He don't know the time. It says, but the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and put his servants in charge, each with their assigned tasks, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. This charge to each and every one of us as a watchman. But it also goes out to you who might not have a relationship with the Lord.
Jesus.
So I ask you this morning, if you do not know the Lord, what are you waiting for? Now's the time. He's here with open arms. Whatever happened yesterday, this morning, you put it behind you today when you accept him as your Lord and Savior.